Yo.
Yeah.
What's going on? All right, before we start, I guess we just got to figure out how we want to do the draft order. What ideally do you know, like, where you want to be specifically?
Yeah, I think drafting fourth is the best. Fourth or fifth, I feel like there's just that many good running backs, and I think that's kind of the meal ticket in your fantasy season. So probably fourth or fifth. I mean, if you want to make it fourth to make it kind of just fair for the rest of the league, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think fourth is probably like inconspicuous enough. Yeah,
it's
like
it's organic. And then
wouldn't raise too many eyebrows, I don't think.
Yeah, and what do you think about Goddard up at 12? Because he won last year, and also because it's only his second year, so I feel like he's not going to try to rock the boat that much about like getting a shitty draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, we got to put him in his place a little bit. You know what I mean? Like he came out and won, so I think 12 or 11 if we want to keep it like a little less obvious, but no, I agree with that for sure.
Yeah, I think Jack too should also probably be a shittier pick, because almost as like a pseudo punishment for not doing any of his side bets last year. Also, he's been running his mouth in the league chat, which he does every year.
Right.
And then, you know, by like week three, he's done.
So, right. Do you think if I put myself at, I mean, two might be a little, that would probably raise some eyebrows a little bit, but I feel like three is probably fair.
Yeah, I almost think that one isn't even that desirable of a pick. So I wouldn't give yourself one. I wouldn't, like, I really do think that the sweetest spot is like between picks three and five, because you get one of the like top running backs, and then your second round pick still has a lot of value. Versus if you take one, you're going from McCaffrey to like Justin Jefferson.
Perfect. No, I think that makes sense.
Who do you think we have to be the most conscious of? I mean, Jake always talks about colluding or like that things are rigged, but
yeah,
think he ever actually thinks that we do it.
Yeah. Jake is, he says it so much that it's almost like the boy who cried wolf a little bit. Like, okay, he's just like, so I think we're probably fine for this, but I don't know. I think we should be okay on that front. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Mike's got his ear close to the ground. He's probably, I could see him being a little bit woke to some stuff, but you know.
Yeah, well, I think for the people, I think we worked it well, because the people that are probably going to ask the most questions, we gave them good picks, so they would have no reason to actually.
Right. Right. Like Mike, you think we probably give him five? I think we give Mike and EY, not, I mean, they led the revolt against the relegation. So I'm a little, not upset, but a little disappointed. So I feel like it's tough to give them these picks, but I feel like five and six could be good for them, just to keep them happy per se. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think six is like a good middle of the middle ground pick. You just end up with a balanced team,
right?
Plus, right. I mean, Mike has won. Mike has a championship at least,
right?
So I think for parity of the league, which I mean, what we're doing isn't even that bad. Like it's the draft order, so it doesn't make that much of a difference. Like everybody,
true.
You could win with whatever draft pick. I just think that, you know, it's just like something we should do for the sake of parity.
Right. Right. And I think if we put Jack 11, Billy, we just throw him 12, and we just, like, who cares? Like, we'll put Billy at 12.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to complain no matter what. And then he'll be back to, like, same old Billy. So,
right.
I don't even know if he's going to pay attention to the league this year with everything else he's got going on.
Yeah, he's pretty busy, which is – it is what it is. But, you know what? All right. Should we start? I'll cut this front part out, and then I can just trim it like in the app, so it's not a big deal. But we can just start right now and then go from there.
Yeah, do you want to do the lead in?
Or yeah, I can do it. I got it.
All right, on your cue, we can start.
All right, perfect. Wait, what? This is the season?
Is it season six?
2015.
I think this is the seventh season, isn't it? I don't know how it works. Like, if you count the 25th season and then add six, or if it's just six. Well,
okay, so 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. This is the sixth or seventh season.
Yeah, because I've won twice. I was runner up once, and then I came in third place, and then I missed the playoffs, and then I made the playoffs. So this, wow, this is our seventh season.
Wow. All right, noted. All right, I'll start it up. All right, gentlemen, we are back. Season 7. This is Overheard at Kelly's. I'm proud to be joined by Evan Jackson, my co-host. Evan, good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great, Ryan. It's always a special feeling, a special mood in New Jersey and nationally and internationally when the KKC gets the ball rolling again. And of course, the revealing of the draft order. The random draft order is always a highlight and kind of a marker for the start of what is usually a great, great football season.
100%. And just the randomness of the order, it just it speaks to the character of the league and how we can how we keep things fair around here and just I mean it speaks to who we are as people in the league. So I'm excited, you know. It's a great night. It's you never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is everybody could say what they want about colluding and we all have a lot of fun making jokes, but it's important that nobody's ever been caught really colluding. And as long as we keep up that track record, this league will maintain and be something we could look forward to year after year.
Right. No, I mean, we have an exciting night planned for you guys tonight, whether you listen after the launch of the podcast or you catch it tomorrow morning. This is happening on Wednesday, August 19th. We're going to release the pod tonight, but what we have planned is we're going to release the draft order. We have a randomizer set on the old internet, so we'll just jump right into it. So let me pull it up here. I'm actually videoing it on my phone to prove that this is truly organic and natural. Starting the video right now. And I have it set. Gonna hit generate draft order and loading. Oh my God.
What?
Okay. All right. All right. Should we start from the bottom?
Yeah. Wait, how many times are you doing it though?
Just one.
You did it once.
I just did it once.
Is it random?
It is. I put the order and I hit randomize. Okay. I just did the order like of how it's listed on the ESPN website, and I just hit randomize. So I feel like unless we want to do it more, this is on video right now, and it's good.
Are we gonna say anything before it about the legitimacy of this?
No, this is legit. This is legit, because the video will prove it.
Oh, okay. I just hope it doesn't end up being what we talked about before the thing.
Let's just do it. I think. I mean, this is as random as it gets.
Okay. I mean, if it's on video, then what? Like, nobody can say anything. So
I mean, it's truly on video.
Okay.
So with the 12th pick in the 2021 Kelly's draft, we have Welcome to Spain, Matthew Morin.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be told. I do not remember everybody's team name.
That's tough. I mean, I don't think it's a bad pick. I actually think 8 to 12 is. You can make a good case for different parts in the draft order, but Morin is. It's never fun to get the 12th spot, but I actually think it's nice to have the slingshot of the snake. So
yeah, I think
there's some pros there.
I think it's it is nice because depending on how the draft shakes up, you could end up with like Kelce and somebody else, which is pretty sweet. Like almost like two first round picks. I just hate any pick where you have to wait 22 picks, 23 picks, because it just makes it so tough to plan for your next move. In the draft, like the caliber of player you go from drafting is just so different from pick to pick. But I mean, right. You do get like the snake, which is nice. Cause that's why I don't like the first pick either. But All right. I mean, for Morin, I think that's a good pick. I think he was also somebody that wasn't fulfilling his side bets this year, so, or last year. So that is, you know, maybe karma coming back to bite him. But I think, did he tell you that I don't know if I'm allowed to break this news on the podcast, but that he got an apartment in Hoboken?
I heard through the grapevine from league member Jack Panagos tonight.
I think Jack. Okay.
Did Jack tell you?
No. He put Morin told us in the chat. I just think it's funny. I don't know if it was like supposed to say Jack's already telling everybody. but no, that's awesome. I'm really happy for Morin.
No, that's I was pumped to hear that. That's a great spot.
It's gonna be great to have another KKC member back in the tri-state area.
Yep. Hudson County. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna love it. And it's great. And I've somebody I've been spending most of my summer with. So we've had a nice time. So I'm great to continue the morning, or very happy to continue the morning experience.
All right, moving down to the 11th pick, we have West Coast Best Coast, Eric Young.
Okay, good. This is like the complete opposite of what we were saying. So this is good. Okay. Yeah, I think that, I mean, the 11th is, you know, 11th, 12th, neither of them are probably too desirable, but you can make them both work, so.
Right.
Okay.
You.
All right. Sorry about that.
All good. So we were talking about EY, 11th pick. I think EY's been a polarizing player in the league from a success standpoint. I think very knowledgeable player. I think what is his best career finish? Do we know off the top of our heads?
I think way back when in 2016, when we still had divisions, and it was the two division winners that got the buys. I think he won one of the divisions with like a 7-5 or like a 7-6 record or something. And then, I mean, if you won the division, you ended up in the third place game no matter what, because you got that first round bye. And I think that year I beat him in the third place game. So maybe that was his best finish. I don't know if he's ever come in third place, but I would assume that's probably one of his better finishes.
Well, a breakout campaign, so could be one to watch.
And I think he never ever wanted a trade. And I feel like there were probably some times where if he had done a trade, it would have benefited his team. But if I remember correctly, he did start trading last year. So,
yeah, I think he's the most trade averse player in the league by far.
Jake,
I feel like Jake eventually like bends in a little bit, but I remember I was reaching out to EY so much last year. I forget who the player was for. But he's like, I can't do it. I'm sticking to my guy. He doesn't like to put he gets his roster and he sticks with it, which I do respect. So
actually, yeah, you know what? That's not fair. Jake actually loves to trade if he's trading you like his kicker for Alvin Kamara.
Right.
Followed by like 8 Joker emojis.
And if you send him a trade, it's just gonna be 40 laughing faces. It's like, all right, good talk. All right, moving down. Pick number 10, we have I Am the Lick. Call is Brendan.
Wow. Okay. Not a bad pick. I feel like here's where we start getting into the mid-first round territory, like pick 6 through 10.
Still good value here for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's really good value in the whole first round, like – but it goes in tiers, I would say.
Yeah, and also I don't think like the first round. Like, I don't think you win win the championship in the first round. Like a lot of it is the waiver wire, and the later rounds finding value. But yeah, I mean 10th pick is good. B Smith has had a pretty good career in the league.
Yeah, I think so.
I think his team is always pretty competitive. And I think did last year. I think he got completely boned by injuries, right?
I believe
was his first pick correct. Saquon Barkley. I want to say his first pick was Saquon, and he got hurt. Or did EY have Saquon Barkley?
For some reason, I thought it could. I don't know.
It was one of those two.
To your point of saying B. Smith is consistent, I feel the same way, and I guess in this league, perception is part reality. So, I think he's and in this league, so he could be another guy that could be due for a big one.
And he was a finalist in the very first season.
People forget.
The KKC. I think if his team was, I think he had Blake Bortles and who was the receiver on the Jaguars that year? That like two of them, Allen Robinson, and who was the other one?
It wasn't Marquise Lee way back.
It was the guy's still bouncing around in the league someplace right now. I can't believe I forget, but he was just like the garbage time king. He had so many points.
Oh my gosh!
But like all in the fourth quarter. Hold on, I'm googling 2015 Jaguars right now. And I think that was also the year that the Jaguars defense – no, that was the year that the Jaguars defense sucked. And
didn't EY have the Jaguars defense when they were nasty?
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't somebody end up naming their team after defense?
I'm pretty sure it was EY who had his team name was Jaguars defense.
Yeah. Allen Hurns.
Yes.
It was both the two Allens, and he had Allen Hurns, who him and Blake Bortles got so many points every single game, but I ended up winning that championship. But no, B. Smith has had a good history. He's always competitive. I feel like B. Smith also the years that he's been bad, his down years have been real down, like bottom three in the league, if I remember. But he's always I feel like he's usually bouncing around at the end of the year for a playoff spot.
So that's true because it was. Who was I fighting with last year? It was me, B. Smith.
I want to say it was B. Smith.
Was Mike? Was Mike down there too?
Yeah, Mike might have been down there.
Yeah, it was tough. That was a tough year. Tough year.
Yeah, there were a lot of injuries last year.
I think. Yeah, we don't. I mean, it was tough. Yeah, we can move on.
I think you set like a record for points against.
Yeah, I had flaws in my own roster, but that certainly didn't. It didn't help the case. I had my opportunities, just didn't capitalize. All right, ninth pick. This is the one, the only, Pat Billy Rose. Now, I don't think he'll be happy.
Yeah, hot take, he's going to complain.
He's going to complain? I think that's you're sticking your neck out with that prediction. Billy doesn't complain. He doesn't complain too often in this league. He's known for keeping quiet, keeping the peace mostly.
Yeah, I might have egg on my face after this one, but Billy's probably going to complain about that pick.
Now, I don't know. When we got cut off previously, I think I was mentioning that an interesting wrinkle this year, which I don't know if we've done before, is that we can trade picks ahead of the draft. So
I think Billy has traded a pick before.
Oh, and we just did it like that makes sense.
Yeah, but, we did like somebody swap. I forget, and it was like a brain dead trade too, like. Billy swapped into a clearly better drafting position, and somebody just agreed.
Right,
but I don't know. I don't remember why.
That's interesting. I mean, Billy.
No offense to whoever made that trade, and I just called them brain dead.
Yeah, I wonder who it was. All right. Do we need anything more on Billy?
Wait, what was the interesting wrinkle?
Oh, that just we could. I think it was new that you could like set it on ESPN that you could trade a pick.
Oh, but
I'm sure that we've traded a pick in the past, like you said.
Well, I know that the draft order has been changed.
Yes.
But I could tell somebody I'm going to trade you my fifth and sixth round pick for your fourth round pick.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to work, like actually within the website or the app.
Oh, that's awesome.
It did say like hit this in order to allow draft pick trading. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know we were doing that.
Yeah. I probably should have asked the league, but I figured we traded in the past, so like why not just do it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that's not something that needs to be voted on. Like yeah. if you don't want to do it, then just don't trade.
We've had enough votes.
Yeah, I agree.
Next, I hate to say it, Evan Jackson, Airport Chili's with the 8th pick.
That's bullshit. We should have actually colluded. no, 8th isn't terrible, I guess. I don't know. I feel like there'll be some value there, probably like one of the good wide receivers or one of
I actually think that's a great – I think mid-round
You're just saying that. No. I mean, I think – like I said before, I think like the real great draft picks in any fantasy football draft is like 3 through 5.
No, so, I agree with that.
But if – I guess I could work with 8th.
Are you saying like 3 through 5 – rounds or like first round, the third to fifth picks?
For me I think that like those getting those picks in the first round are where I want to be, because I think you get like, I mean, obviously if you draft correctly you end up with a top five player on paper in the league, but then your second round pick is still pretty good, right? Because you're not drafting super high. I mean, third maybe, but I think like what you can get at number 3 outweighs what you'd be giving up in the second round. 8th is okay. I mean, I'll have a high pick in the second round.
I think that's a fine. I think that's a fine spot.
So, I mean, also, I will say, like, I was against the relegation, and I was worried because I felt like I was due to have like a real bad unlucky season, so I'm happy that not happy. I mean, Wawa's is a good friend, would have been a good member of the league. I understand what the circumstances were for everybody. But I am breathing a little easier that this draft pick comes without the threat of relegation.
Right. No, and we can touch on that later. It was a tough vote. I think it was unfortunate that we extended the invitation and had to pull it back. But it is what it is. But as we do, we must move, and we will move to the 7th pick. And this one is a recent team name change. This is a team most foul. Matt Walsh. I don't know how you even come up with that, but
what he posted a picture too. Of like, like him and like his intentions for the league. I don't know. Walsh has been coming out with like radio silence, and then he'll just drop like he's like Dave Chappelle, just like you don't hear from him for a while, and then he just comes out with like something amazing.
But Walsh is in like within the separate group chats, he is just quality over quantity. Yeah. When Walsh like puts something in there, it's just always hilarious.
It'll get the most likes for that like week. It reverberates throughout the chat. But I mean, and I also will say, I think Walsh has typically had the best team names. Like, I think he was the perfect thickness for a few years.
Yep.
Which was pretty good. What was the one that we said Frank wouldn't get?
It wasn't Papa Moon, was it?
Yeah. And was he little itty bitty shrimp bits, or was that you?
That was me. But I think he
started saying that, or somebody, you two started saying
It was in a Young Thug song, and Wash and I would always say it.
But 7th is, I mean, I was just complaining about the 8th pick, so I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Like, I wouldn't love the 7th pick, but it's pretty good. Mid first round. So. Right. And Walsh has, I think, I might be speaking out of turn here, but he has been to the championship the most times of any active league member other than myself. So he's had quite a bit of success, kind of always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
He's like Xander Schauffele in golf, just always lurking in the final round. And then just he's knocking on the door, so you have to think his time is coming up soon.
Yeah, I mean, or did he peak and that was, you know, he lost his chance, like the Falcons.
Yeah, that's true. I think he, just to stick on the golf thing, he's not in like Lee Westwood territory where it's almost like too late in his career to finally knock down the door and get one. But the fact that he's still still young. I think it's not in the back of his mind that if he missed his chance or not. So I think Spirit should still be high in the Walsh camp, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like one of those he's almost like a Bryce Harper, if you will, where like he came into the league so young that you forget how young he still is.
That's true.
He's got his entire career ahead of him. So, you know, he'll probably be back in another championship, and I'll put my money that he ends up with one day when he finally hangs up the boots.
That's a great analogy. That's well put. Next, we have the biggest football guy in the league, the newest biggest football guy in the state of Georgia, new Atlanta resident, Michael Howe, with a 6-pick Rodrigo's rocket ship.
That's a total football guy pick, too. Smack dab in the middle of the first round, 12 picks in between picks. He can plan it out perfectly.
Yep.
That's a grinder's paradise, as he loves to say.
As Mike is listening to this, whenever he does, I think he'll be ecstatic to learn his pick location for those reasons that you stated. I think it's a perfect spot for him.
He's punching air right now.
Yep.
I think that's a great pick, and fellow champion, soft spot in my heart for all of them. So happy for him. Happy for him. The move, coming back closer to the East Coast. So congrats to Mike.
And on the note of champions, I think if it's added motivation, there's a champions chat. It's basically like the champions dinner at Augusta National. It's a separate group, man. We just basically wish each other to have a great day.
Yeah,
out of the blue.
It's good. It's really just good vibes only in that chat.
So it's
that chat has never seen a bad vibe, and probably will never see a bad vibe, because everything, the air is a little fresher, you know, everything tastes a little sweeter when you're a champion. And those rings just have a funny way of warding off the bad vibes. So,
yep. You just look down and smile sometimes.
You know, eventually that chat might just be the KKC chat, but it'll always be a little bit different. It'll always be a little special. So,
yeah, time will tell. Time will truly tell. Next, we have our defending champion in a great spot, mind you, in this draft order with the 5th pick, Christopher Gotterup, the ghost of Danny.
Is that still his team name?
Yeah, it is.
Interesting. That's
the fact he won with that makes
kind
you think.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad vibe. It's almost like you made a deal with the devil.
Yeah, he sold his soul a little bit.
Yeah, if I was him, I would be going to like the local shaman in Oklahoma, making sure there was no like burial grounds where he's domiciling or anything like that, because that could be some bad juju.
You know what? Come to think of it, just looking at the team name, what if Danny really never gave up his? What if he never gave up his team, and Chris is just a pawn in the chat?
I wouldn't even surprise it.
Chris is a competitive guy, so I mean,
he's a competitive guy.
I wouldn't put it past him, you know.
I could see Danny somehow like digging up some crazy dirt on like Goddard's like great grandfather or something.
Chris is just blackmailed and had to hand over his fantasy team.
like Danny's like, Chris is taking screenshots of the chat every second, sending them to Danny, and then Danny's texting him what to say in it. Could be. I don't know. Stranger things have happened.
My whole perspective just changed on Chris.
Yeah, it is. If I were him, as soon as he hears this, I'd be changing the name of the team.
Yeah, I mean, it raises some eyebrows. I think it almost like we were too oblivious of it last year. I think after a victory, definitely some eyebrows were raising.
Especially because that really was the ghost of Danny's season. Because when Danny won his championship, he came on this podcast and told us to our faces how he was going to win the league, and then he did it. And I remember last year we were talking – some people actually on this podcast right now were talking a lot of shit to Chris about his trade, and that it was, you know, stupid, and I probably said some other things, that person also probably said some other things. And then Chris was like, no, I believe in my team. I think this team is going to win the championship. And then he went out and did it. So a lot of similarities, kind of like I don't know how much of a reader you are, but in the Harry Potter books, Voldemort like gave a little piece of himself to Harry. Spoiler alert for anybody that's not familiar. gave himself, like, gave Harry, like, a little piece of himself, and that's why Harry was able to, this is actually a big spoiler, beat him in the final book, like, win. So it kind of is, like, almost a little bit of that, like, Danny was Voldemort and Chris is Harry Potter.
Mm. Wow. That's pretty electric right there.
Yeah, there's actually probably a lot of potential behind that one. I'm going to have to workshop that one a little bit.
All right, next, someone who will be very enthused with this one. With the fourth pick, someone who is due for success, he's hungry for success. BMI boys, Jack Panagos.
If Jack screws up the fourth pick, he might just – I mean
– Now, okay, if the league were to end tomorrow or tonight, wherever, yeah. What's Jack's legacy?
Probably disappointment. I would say definitely disappointment. He's the biggest X's and O's guy, and he's the biggest early season talker, probably, I would say.
Does Jack have the shortest leash of any manager for his team?
Yeah, I can see that fan base kind of starting to I'm not saying they're calling into the local radio stations calling for his head, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some rumblings out there. I mean, I think you can only promise things so many times and not deliver before people start to expect seek a change. So I think he's got a lot to prove, and the fourth pick gives him a lot of ammunition to prove something. So
is it fair to say that this season 7 is a statement year, like a prove it or lose it situation for Jack?
I will not call it a prove it or lose it, but I will call it a make or break.
Wow.
And the added piece of this is Jack is trading the Jersey City skyscrapers for the Manasquan sand for the next 3 weeks. And I pray that he doesn't let this distract him from draft prep.
Does being close to a two-time champion give him the opportunity to perhaps – does it give him the leg up for some just talking shop off the cuff potentially? Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to pick my brain, pillow talk me a little bit, especially if he gets me loose. If he starts feeding me drinks one night, I'll know he's got ulterior motives. It could also be intimidating for somebody like him who has – I don't know if he's ever won a playoff game in the KKC to be around somebody like me. I don't know. I would love to be a mentor to him, but I just think I still have something to prove in this league, and therefore I can't really, you know, you can only have so many friends.
Well, it's nice of you to leave your door open for a younger guy in the league who's just trying to find his way, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That is very big of me. So
next we have – is this his second or third season? We have
Lou?
Los Angeles fantasy team. That's Lou Bodine.
Los Angeles.
Is this
– I think this is his third season.
Third season.
Who did he replace? Chase?
I believe he replaced Chase. That's correct.
Wait. That makes sense.
I'm trying to think, actually. Is this really his third season?
I think Chase's last season was when he drafted Ezekiel Elliott in the first round. No, he drafted Terrell Pryor in the first round. And then he drafted Ezekiel Elliott in the second round when he was suspended for 6 games.
How do you go back to previous years? Oh, I got it.
You go to
– I'm going to 2019.
Yeah. I would check – what year was that? Was that 2017? Would have been Chase's last year, and then check 2018, and I think that was Lou's first year.
So Lou's had two full seasons. This is his third. So Chase in 2018 was in the league. Obviously, so was Danny. Danny's last year was 2020. Excuse me. 2019.
And that was the year he won, right?
I won Danny's last year.
Oh, he won in 2018?
Yes. I won with a 7-6 record. I got hot in the playoffs.
Oh yeah, but didn't yeah, it was
yeah,
it was
Danny won. Danny won 28. Yeah.
So what is this? So what is this for Lou?
This is year 3.
Okay.
Year 3, you were right.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, so at this point he should be comfortable.
I think in the league. Just looking in the he had a 7th place mid-table finish in his debut.
He went to the semifinal last year.
Yeah, he came in 3rd last year. So, people got to stay woke on Lou, I think. He flies under the radar a little bit being out on the West Coast, but he could be one to watch.
Yeah, I think Lou had a little bit of like finding his feet his first year in the league. And obviously like last year is a successful season getting to the semifinal. He does know a lot about football, watches all the games, obviously loves the Packers. So he has like a good knowledge of those, which is, you know, maybe you can find a diamond in the rough. Like maybe he knows something about a Packers player that other people don't know because there's not too many fans of them or
right.
The only fan of them in the league. So,
and to that point, almost from a different angle, I feel like Lou is obviously a diehard Packer fan, but I don't think he gets caught up in drafting emotionally, which I'm certainly guilty of. Billy is, Jack is a lock to, maybe he'll switch it up this year, but he always has drafted a Jets player since he adopted them as his team. I think that's just the way it goes a little bit.
Yeah, I would say I draft pretty emotionally too, but I don't even draft emotionally with Giants players. I just draft the same players every year. Like I have an emotional attachment to like Melvin Gordon, Stephon Diggs, Corey Davis. I feel like every year they end up on my team.
Yeah.
But
all right, number 2, we have the one, the only, the birthday boy today, actually. Happy birthday, Jacob, the clown of crime, with the 2nd pick.
Wow. That is – I think Jake has had a few really high picks, I want to say. Because I remember one year he
– he had the McCaffrey pick.
Yeah, he kept saying he was going to draft
– was that last year that he drafted first?
No. Was it last year? Who?
I feel like he had the first pick last year. I might have to go in the archives.
Oh, yeah, he did. He had McCaffrey. He took McCaffrey first overall, and he kept saying he was going to take James. No, not James. He kept saying he was going to take Cam Newton. So
I'm just scrolling through his career finishes. So
Jake's always been very boom or bust week to week.
He came in 6th in the debut season, 8th 2016. 4th in 2017, good finish. 11th 2018. 8th 2019.
2020. Did he come in last? No, he didn't come in last, right?
2020, he came in 7th place. And then, let's see. That's it. So that's... Jake definitely knows football, but the stubbornness with trading,
yeah,
I feel like it can bite him at times. I feel like good deals, and I mean, I might just be bitter or a little butthurt, but I feel like I have gone to him with good trades, fair trades, and he'll just totally write it off. Like he will not even consider it, or at least on the surface he won't. But
I've sent him a number of trades. Even some of them were just for like inconsequential players. Like I was trading him a bench running back for like a bench wide receiver, like something like that wasn't really going to make a difference. And I would just get like, you know, a paragraph of emojis. But he also doesn't really use the waiver wire, if I remember correctly.
That's true.
He's very low transactions. So he's kind of ride or die with his team. And I think that's why in the beginning of seasons, he usually is like up there, and then sometimes the wheels start coming off with injuries and stuff. I think he's had some years where like he didn't have, or like some weeks where it was a question if he was going to have enough players to field the team.
That's a great point. I didn't even consider the waiver, but that is very true to Jacob.
So But he drafts well, so if he you know, keeps up with that, and maybe makes some adjustments to his midseason strategy, he can, you know, get there. But
all right. And finally, this one might raise some eyebrows, but the video will prove it. I ended up with the number one pick. I actually was having dinner with a fellow commissioner in a neighboring league tonight, Sean Butler, and he's a commissioner of his league, and he actually got the first pick as well, so he knows the burden that this can bring. It's truly random, so it is. I get any frustrations, but this is just how it shook out this year. So I got to start looking at the draft boards and everything, and just figure out what I want to do. So I don't know. It's an interesting spot.
Spot. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I think Alvin Kamara there kind of could be an intriguing option, depending how you think he's going to shake out this year. Because I mean, if you want a shot to get him again, I think you had him actually, you've had him a few years, haven't you?
I've had him a couple times. I'm nervous about. I think there, even though I really want Jameis to start, I really think that there is a good chance that Taysom will start at quarterback, and that'll just like, not to like get too deep into the weeds, but when Taysom starts, like, I think Alvin averaged like 1 to 2 receptions per game. Like, it's just totally different when he's, and I'm sure things can change. Like, I'm sure it's a different offense now that Drew's gone, et cetera. So I don't know. I just don't know how confident I would be in that pick at this point in time.
Yeah, well, it is pretty typical of like of running quarterbacks where running quarterbacks where receiving running backs are kind of, you know, left to the wayside, because where a pocket passer might just dump the ball off, a running quarterback will just run for those same 4, 3, or 4 yards.
Yeah.
So it there is definitely an impact to value there. I mean, I think you saw the same thing last year with Kyler Murray, and who was the running back there? Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't really get too many receptions. And I don't think the Ravens ever throw the ball to their running backs with Lamar. But yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, obviously the world is your oyster at the first pick. I would say I wouldn't even be apologizing if I were you. I feel like the first overall pick is pretty overrated. I don't like it. I've had it before and I hate it. Just like I hate the 12th pick.
It's a lot of stress, I think.
It's a lot of stress, like, because you could definitely make, like, I like the third pick because there's less or the fourth pick because there's less pressure. Like, those players have already been taken before you. So, like,
yeah,
not only do you have to wait less time before your next pick, but the decision is usually made for you, like which of the top guys you're getting, and there's less of a like regret or, you know,
yeah,
less chance of you overthinking it.
Yeah, I like to react more like off of picks versus like setting the trend of how a draft is going to shake out, like based on like a certain pick. I don't know, because I feel like the snakes, if you're on one end of the snake, like you can kind of not control, but if you have back-to-back picks, you can really not, I don't know. It's an interesting, I was listening to a podcast about it. Like, you can kind of impact how a certain round shakes out based off of what kind of players you take back-to-back, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Who ended up as the number one player last year? Do you remember?
Was it,
it obviously wasn't McCaffrey. Was it Kamara?
I'm trying to think. Let me go back.
I can't think of, like, I'm trying to think, like, team to team. It might have been Derrick Henry.
I think it was.
Was it Derrick Henry?
Players, scoring leaders.
Non-QB, of course.
Right.
I feel like that we're forgetting somebody really obvious.
Shoot. Players, scoring leaders. Uh, 2020 season. Let's do flex. Average. Fantasy points. Alvin Kamara was the points leader.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He scored so many points last year. And he was
on and then Davante Adams.
Oh, he was second? Oh, Dalvin Cook was who I was forgetting.
Dalvin Cook. I think I had Dalvin. I traded for him.
Didn't you trade for him and then trade back for him or something?
It was something crazy, but...
Like, you traded for him and then you traded back for Michael Thomas?
Oh, yeah, that was probably not smart.
Yeah, that was a weird... There were a few blockbusters last year. But yeah, I don't know. This is also one of the first years that I can remember in recent memory where there's not a consensus number one. Like, I think you could make the case for Dalvin Cook, McCaffrey, and even Derrick Henry, Kamara. So,
yeah,
you have a lot to chew on, and I am not really envious of your position. So,
just to quickly recap for those at home, I'll just quickly run through it. So, 12th pick is Morin, 11th pick is EY, 10th pick is Brendan Smith, 9th is Billy, 8th is Evan, 7th is Walsh, 6th is Mike, 5 is Chris, 4 is Jack, 3 is Lou, 2 is Jacob, and 1 is myself. And that is the 2021 Kelly's Corner Conglomerate draft order in our 7th edition of the league.
Sounds good. Successful draft. Felt like draft night in the draft reveal in the NFL. Wait, actually, no. The NFL does their – it's just by record. Who does the draft thing? The NHL, where they reveal it?
The NBA does as well, like a lottery, basically. This is essentially a lottery with it being randomized.
Yeah, KKC, NHL, NBA, all pillars of American sports.
All pillars. So with that, Evan, any closing words before we say goodbye for the evening?
No, I don't really feel like talking about the relegation thing, to be honest.
That's true.
I think I've said my piece offline and in the chat, and the secondary vote has spoken, so I don't think we need to keep talking about that. But I will say that I do think we should explore an alternative to the waiver wire, because it makes the first 2 weeks of the season like you're almost better off tanking. Because I think last year Billy got – I think – was last year week one or two when Billy scored like 58 points or something crazy? And he ended up picking up James Robinson off waivers, and that guy ended up being like a top 10 running back the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like if you lose your first game, it's like you can get your pick of the waiver wire and you end up with, you know, sometimes a hidden gem or a guy that – ends up being first round talent at the end of the year or a first round caliber player at the end of the year. So I like the idea of like the, I don't even know what the acronym stands for. It's FAAB is what I see. Like it referred to online.
That's the auction system, right?
Yeah. And like you, like everybody gets like $100 or whatever. And then you place bids for the players, but then at least everybody gets a shot at everybody on the waiver wire. And I think it does add a little bit of skill. And I think in some – I don't know if you're allowed to or not, but I think you're even able to trade free agent, like, budget. So you can trade, like, $10, like, and it becomes, you know, something else that you could use. But I don't know. I mean, if the league is opposed to it or if they want to keep it the same, it's obviously, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I do think it'd be something fun. I think Mike has been in favor of switching up the waiver wire as well.
Do you know what happens if you were to like run out of budget? Are you simply like at the mercy?
Out. That's
like
out.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could do free agents, but you can't. You can't make any claims on the waiver. So like, once the waivers go through, you're free to do whatever you want. So like let's say there is a guy like James Robinson who it's clear that he's going to be, you know, potentially a running back one for the rest of the year. You could spend all 100 of your dollars week one, but then you're kind of like shit out of luck for the rest of the season. So I don't know.
I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. From everything I've heard and like listening to like podcasts or like radio shows that where they use it, it sounds like a fun dynamic, adds a little bit more strategy and, it is probably more fair.
I think it would be a big learning curve for everyone.
Huge. It would be big, and maybe this is too soon. Like, this is too close to the start of next season, or to the start of this season to bring it in. But I mean, it's not like something that people could be like practicing for, you know, in the off season. It's like kind of a simple concept, but you know, we just announced the draft order.
That's true.
So things might be, wheels might be turning already, and it might be too late in the process. But I think it's a discussion worth having.
No, I think like we do with anything, we can
bring it up to a vote.
Or if there's a case for it, we can certainly, we'll put it up and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, enough people might say, no, there's no way. And, you know, maybe I'm the only one that wants to think about this. But
I think there's a case for it, I think.
Yeah, but no, that was the only talking point. Obviously, as always, I'm excited for the start of the season. I love the camaraderie, and you know, it feels like we're almost like back in college a little bit, where everybody's talking almost every day in the group chats, and like those NFL Sundays, we really like, even though a lot of us are, you know, going to be thousands of miles apart or however many miles apart, you know, you feel like together again for a little bit on those NFL Sundays. We're all doing the same thing. So it's like, it's special. And I think the league is special. I think it's testament how many people look forward to this league every year. I think it's better than your average fantasy football league out there. And I'm excited for it, as I always am.
I think, to your point, the best part about this league, exactly what you said, is just like, it really is everyone just coming together every year. You're just, the dialogue is so constant that, like you said, it just feels like everyone's back together, even though we're far apart. So it's, I love it. I mean, it's just the best. Makes me happy being a part of it. So another great year on deck, season 7, and hopefully many, many more to come.
Yes. Yep. I agree. All right. As always, Ryan.
Pleasure.
Yep. Pleasure doing business with you.
So all right. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye.
All right. Good night. Living downtown.